It's Bhagavad Gita the way the author intended. No spin. We are studying this ninth chapter, the most confidential knowledge, which deals with pure devotional service. That means using the limbs of the body, using the mind and intelligence, and most importantly, one's heart and consciousness, to render meaningful service to the Lord. It entails nine processes, of which you are doing the first one, shravanam, hearing about God, and then progressing to chanting, and by doing much hearing and chanting, one comes to the stage of remembering, and then offering prayers, serving, offering worship, becoming a confidential friend, and ultimately surrendering one's very life and soul and heart. This second verse is one of the most important verses of the Bhagavad Gita. Each line is chock full of very, very poignant and meaningful instructions. This verse may take two classes to finish, because I do not want to rush this verse. It's so important. So if you are ready to hear Bhagavad Gita, then let us chant the 12-syllable mantra.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Now we are ready to proceed. Please repeat. Radya Vidya Rajaguyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamang Dharmyang Susukam Kartum Avyayam. This verse is so wonderful that even if you could memorize one line, you can preach very, very effectively, even by learning one line. I encourage you all to memorize this verse, especially if you see yourself as a preacher. This verse is called a happy text. This verse is very encouraging. Let's do it again. Radya Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamang Dharmyang Susukam Kartum Avyayam. We'll do it one more time, because when something in the Vedas, when something is said three times, then it becomes nicely established. Raja Vidya Raja Guyang Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamang Dharmyang Susukham Kartum Avyayam. Srila Prabhupada's synonyms: Raja Vidya, the king of education. So right there, you can use this first phrase and preach anywhere in the world. That you may have your university, you may have your college, you may have your learning institution, but we are presenting the king of education. This Bhagavad Gita is the king. Here you see the picture of Prahlad offering a flower to the killer of his father. And earlier, when his father questioned Prahlad, "What is the best thing you have learned?" Prahlad stated that, "In my opinion, the best education is that which teaches one how to engage in pure devotional service, engaging the nine different forms, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, of which hearing and chanting are the most important." So Prahlad said, "Tanmanye ditam uttamam." In my opinion, these nine processes of pure devotional service, this is the topmost education. And here Krishna is explaining to Arjuna, yes, this devotional service, this message of Bhagavad Gita, it's the king. Next word, Rajaguhyam, the king of confidential knowledge. Now, this should not be misunderstood. When it says the king of confidential knowledge, it does not mean anyone is excluded. Don't think that this is only for a certain class or a certain society or a certain ethnic group. Prabhupada already destroyed all that nonsense. Indeed, some of his god brothers did not appreciate that he was giving the king of education to non-Hindus, to the Malechas and the Yavanas. But Prabhupada did not care for their nonsense, because he understood what Lord Chaitanya instructed. You will read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when there is the description of the Chaitanya tree, it's a figurative example how Lord Chaitanya is the gardener, how Lord Chaitanya is the tree. And you'll see in that chapter, Lord Chaitanya says, "I order everyone to spread this Krishna consciousness movement." So Lord Chaitanya wants this knowledge to be spread everywhere. Lord Chaitanya wants the name of Krishna to be spread everywhere. No restrictions. But it's still confidential. Why? Because it is teaching that thing which is the most sublime. It is teaching that thing which is the best, the topmost, most wonderful. But at the same time, it's open to everyone. And we learned last class, what did we learn? The Turn to the previous verse, please, and tell me what is the only restriction. What is Krishna telling Arjuna? Why? Yes. Don't be envious. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Don't be envious. And where does envy begin? You're close. Where does it begin? Envy of whom? Of God, yes. And then after envy of God, everything else, because everything is connected. Yes. So Krishna told Arjuna, because you're never envious of me, I'm going to teach you this. So that is the only restriction. If you want the king of education, if you want this king of confidential knowledge, this is the only requirement. Just don't be envious. Leave it at the door with your cell phone. And just come, and if you can be non-envious, then it'll just flow through you. Flow through you. It'll be easy to understand. You'll get it. It has nothing to do that you're a PhD. No. It doesn't have anything to do I may be illiterate. Doesn't matter. This single qualification of being non-envious, that's your entrance fee. If you're ready to proceed, say Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Next word. Pavitram. The purest. So there's pure, purer, purest. Krishna is saying here, you're not going to find anything more pure than this pure devotional, most confidential knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, if that's the case, simply by reading Bhagavad Gita, you become purified. In the end, in chapter 18, Krishna will say, and whoever studies this Bhagavad Gita worships me by his intelligence. So right now, you're worshiping Krishna. You could be doing so many things, but you decided, no, I will. Now you're getting purified. We sang, or we recited, the first Shikshastakam prayer. And then it said, Sarvatma Snapanam. Snapana means bathing of the soul. It is the bathing of the soul. So after a hard day's work, like my wife, every day, when she comes home from work, she first thing she does is, Prabhuji, I'm going to take a bath. And I go, very good. Because I know she may have had a rough day. There's been so many things. She takes her bath. She comes out very sweet, like an angel. So, cleansing. Our whole movement is cleansing process. That's our movement. Mr. Clean. We are meant to clean. When I was Bhakta Nick in the Brooklyn Temple, they told me, you go to the kitchen, you clean the pot. And then I did the pot. They said, no, no, no. You see all this? You see this? Clean it again. And I had spent such a hard time cleaning that pot. They said, no, you see all these black? No. And then the devotees told me, Prabhupada said that when you clean the pot, you're cleaning your heart. So it wasn't just a chore. It wasn't just some menial service. But it was actually, now you started to see things transcendentally. Anyone who came would think, oh, he's a pot washer. We could get some, illegal alien to do it. No, it's a transcendental process. By scrubbing that pot, I was cleaning my heart. Why? Because it was Krishna's pot. I was doing it for Krishna. I wasn't doing it for anyone else. I was doing it for Krishna. Next word, idam. This. Uttamam. Transcendental. So here's another word. Transcendental. In chapter 14, the chapter is entitled The Three Modes of Material Nature. Everything is governed by these three modes of material nature. Everything. Whatever you eat, whatever you do, you'll read in chapters 14, 17, and 18. Krishna explains, yes, these three modes of nature are in every facet of one's life. How you eat, how you sleep, mate, everything. Your work, your determination, your thinking, your faith. Everything is judged by the modes of nature. But here was the word here, uttamam, transcendental. Uttama. Tama means darkness. This material world, by nature, is dark. But Krishna has provided a lamp called the sun. Without that sun, darkness. But that one sun, so powerful, lights up the whole universe. One sun. So, uttama, beyond the darkness, beyond these modes of material nature, what is that? That's the spiritual world. That is the world of Vaikuntha. No anxiety. In the material world, top to bottom, anxiety. In the Bhagavatam it says, the demigods, yes, they're living in the heavenly planets, but they're also in anxiety. Two things. Somebody might kick them out of their position, or the demons may come and attack. So even they don't have unadulterated happiness. No. They're also in anxiety. If you want no anxiety, you have to get out of this material world. You have to go to uttamam, transcend, beyond the senses. Therefore, one of Krishna's names, Adhokshaja, can you all say?
Adhokshaja.
Very good, Gopal. Adhokshaja means that person who is beyond the scope of mundane senses and mind. He's beyond that. Now let's go on. Next word. This one is my favorite. Pratyaksha. By direct experience. To me, this word is the word in this verse. Because unlike what John Lennon thought, John Lennon wrote a very nasty song. And in that nasty song, he sang, old Hare Krishna's got nothing on you, just keeps you crazy with nothing to do, keeps you occupied with pie in the sky. There ain't no guru who can see through your eye. Stupid. Such a stupid song. He missed the boat. He completely misunderstood Prabhupada. He had his chance. But because of bad association, You could not get it. Couldn't get it. Even though Prabhupada was living in his house, he couldn't get it. The famous Beatle couldn't get it. So he thinks, pie in the sky. No. Pratyaksha. Direct experience. Nobody is going to chant 16 rounds every day for year after year unless they're getting direct experience. As I tell the college students and the high school students, every time Archita takes me, I tell the students, you think I'm a fool? Is that what you think? That I'm going to waste 35 years of my life and spend 2-3 hours chanting and not get something from it? You think I'm a fool? That's exactly how I preach to these people. I'm not a fool. I'm more of a hedonist than you are. I did all these things that you're doing now. How come I don't do them anymore? Pratyaksha. I have direct experience of something better. Go ahead. Try me. Check it out. I dare you. You chant this Maha Mantra seriously. Be careful. It works. It's real. It's not pie in the sky. Otherwise, no devotee, this movement wouldn't exist. But how is it this movement exists? How is it that Prabhupada would make devotees and then very soon tell them, okay, you go out and open a temple? How was it they were in their young 20s? How was it that the devotees, Prabhupada didn't open every temple. He had his disciples go out. He told those grihastha couples, go to London. So they went and they met George Harrison and they started the movement in London. How is it? Because they had pratyaksha, direct experience. They were empowered by Prabhupada, but they had the experience. And if you chant Hare Krishna sincerely, you will get the experience. It's simply a question of being sincere and serious. That's all it is. Just be sincere and serious. You'll get the experience. You'll get it. And then once you get it, you're fixed up. And then that propels you to higher and higher and higher levels. Next word. Avagamam. Understood. Dharmyam. The principle of religion. So the principle of religion is given by Yamaraj. And who better? Yamaraj is the superintendent of death. He's the judge. He's the judge at the time of death. So the judge is supposed to know the law. So the judge, during the incident of Ajamila, Ajamila was supposed to go to hell. He had become the most degraded person. He had a prostitute for his wife. So he was eating the food cooked by a prostitute. That's very sinful. He was engaging in all kinds of sinful, abominable activities, lying, cheating, stealing. He was doing only sinful activities. He should have gone to hell. The Yamadutas came and they had his rap sheet. They knew exactly. But the Vishnu Dutas came and told the Yamadutas, stop! You cannot take Ajamila. And the Yamaduta said, what are you talking about? And then they had the rap sheet. They said, hey, by the way, this Sajamiel did this. He did this. He did this. They had the whole thing. The Vishnuduta said, yes, but he did one thing. He was always chanting the name Narayan. Everyone. That loud chanting you just did may have purified you for your entire life. Do you know that? It just takes one pure utterance. One is all it takes. Very good, Gopal. Very good. So the Vishnudutas explained and defeated the Yamadutas. This was the first time. They had an undefeated record. So the Yamadutas went back to their master, Yamaraj. What's this? We were doing our job, and these four Vishnudutas stopped us? Where are you going? What for? Why you have to go? That's good. For Krishna, it's okay. Is it okay if he gets emotional? We love you. Go ahead, be emotional. No one's going to judge you, and besides, the camera's not on you. It's okay, but don't leave. I need you. Haribol. So when the Yamadutas made their case, Yamaraj was actually very happy that they had met the Vishnudutas, and his servants uttered the name Narayan. Everyone. Narayan. Very good. You were the strongest this time. And you can get emotional if you like. Jai boy. Jai. Very good. So Yamaraj explained to his servants. They said to him, we thought you were the supreme. We thought that you were the final judge. And Yamaraj said, no. Above me is... Right. Above me is this Narayan. And then Yamaraj gave the principle of religion. Dharman... Tusakshad Bhagavat Pranitam. Religion is not what I say or you say or what the priest says or what. No. What does God say? That's religion. That is the definition of religion. What does God say? And therefore, the next question is, who is God? And that's a whole nother discussion. Who is God? Wait, why are you going? Are you emotional too? Oh, okay. But hurry back. Hurry back. I don't like any of my children to be missing. You're my children. I bless you. Emotional or not emotional? So, the principle of religion, what does God say? That's why Prabhupada says Bhagavad Gita is the best book, because it's what God says, not what he says, what she says, or this. No. I want to know what God says. Let's go on. Susukam. Very happy. And as I've said many times, I did not join a movement that is about austerities and penances and being miserable. I joined the religion, very happy religion. You've heard the story. Prabhupada had one servant, and one day Prabhupada said, go away. Go anywhere you like, but you can't stay here. Because you're always morose. Prabhupada said, if you're a devotee, you should be jolly, not morose. So, if you execute Krishna consciousness, susukam, very happy. Next word, kartum, to execute. Yes, in other words, all the activities, right? Hearing, chanting, remembering, serving. By doing them, you should be happy. Krishna Gauranga, your main service is kukanam, right? Shravanam, kirtanam, kukanam. So, when you're kukanam, are you happy? Sometimes it's intense. Sometimes you're sweating. But do you like doing your kukanam? Right. You like to sing? Singing them. So, when you're singing them, are you sad or are you jolly? Jai. So, if you're actually engaging in devotional service, you should be happy while doing it. Not like, oh man, I gotta chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No. Chanting should be done happy. Preaching should be done happy. All the different items of devotional service. You should be happy doing it. Last word. Avyayam. Everlasting. Now this everlasting means that anything you do for Krishna is in your permanent account. Prabhupada says, every one of us has a bhakti account. And Obama and the IMF can't touch it. That account, you never lose it. It's everlasting. Everlasting, inexhaustible. Whatever you have in your bhakti account can never be taken away. Very good. So I hope that your account increases. Shall we do the translation? Please read.
Haribo.
Please repeat. This knowledge is the king of education. The most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge. And because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. So, one of the people online, Santa, says, you are preaching very happily. We are listening happily. Very nice. Very good. Very good. All right, so this purport is a long purport. That's why I said we may have to break this out into another class. I will not be here next week. Next week, I will be in Hawaii. But the following week, I will be here. All right? So, not next week. So, let's read Prabhupada's purport. This chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called the King of Education because it is the essence of all doctrines and philosophies explained before. Among the principal philosophers in India are Gautama, Kanada, Kapila, Yajnavalkya, Shandilya, and Vaishvanara. And finally, there is Vyasadeva, the author of the Vedanta Sutra. So, there is no dearth of knowledge in the field of philosophy or transcendental knowledge. Now, the Lord says that this ninth chapter is the king of all such knowledge the essence of all knowledge that can be derived from the study of the Vedas and different kinds of philosophy. It is the most confidential, because confidential or transcendental knowledge involves understanding the difference between the soul and the body. And the king of all confidential knowledge culminates in devotional service. So, you can understand that you're not the body, and you have confidential knowledge. But devotional service is the king, or shall we say, more advanced. Because the question should be, all right, I know I'm not my mind. I know I'm not this body. I am spirit soul. Now what am I supposed to do? Right? Or shall we say, are there activities in Brahman? That is the question. The impersonalist says there are no activities of Brahman. That's the impersonalist. But the Bhaktivedantas, the personalists, they say no. There are activities of Brahman. And what are those activities? Pure devotional service. Those are the activities of liberation. Whereas the impersonalists say, oh no, when you're liberated, no more activities. But Bhagavad Gita is teaching, when you're liberated, the real activities begin. Let's continue. Generally, people are not educated in this confidential knowledge. They are educated in external knowledge. As far as ordinary education is concerned, people are involved with so many departments: politics, sociology, physics, chemistry, mathematics, astronomy, engineering, etc. There are so many departments of knowledge all over the world and many huge universities. But there is, unfortunately, no university or educational institution where the science of the spirit soul is instructed. Yet, the soul is the most important part of the body. Without the presence of the soul, the body has no value. Still, people are placing great stress on the bodily necessities of life, not caring for the vital soul. So right here, Prabhupada has pointed out what is the real problem of the world. As Kali Yuga progresses, the emphasis will be more and more and more on materialistic thought, materialistic concepts, because they think that is how we will solve the problems of life. But that is a mistake. The problems of life can only be solved spiritually. As I've mentioned so many times, chapter 7, verse 14. Krishna says, this material energy insurmountable. So their very premise that we could solve all the problems of life simply by expertly manipulating the material energy will prove to be a big mistake. If you want to solve the material problems, Krishna says, the only way to do that is to surrender. This is what Krishna says. But they will insist, no, we have to solve it materially. But take a look at it this way. In the 50s, they had so many diseases. All right. They came up with certain cures, but then new ones propped up. Then they solved those. Krishna says, okay, how about this one? Yes, every time we conquer one material problem, whoop, another one pops up. For instance, a few years ago, maybe it was last year, drill baby drill. We had that silly woman who was preaching the solution to all our problems, drill baby drill. Well, guess what? What just happened, Sarah? You drilled baby drill, and now that drill ain't stopping. And if they don't do something fast, it could destroy the entire world's seawater. That's how scary it is. The Gulf of Mexico is already finished. And now it could spread the whole Atlantic Ocean. We have no idea how that's going to affect. Forget global warming and this and that. This could be the end of civilization. Drill, baby, drill. You really sound like a fool now. No, it should be chant, baby, chant. Then I would like you. Chant, baby, chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. All right. Batuk, I'll answer your question later. The Bhagavad Gita, especially from the second chapter on, stresses the importance of the soul. In the very beginning, the Lord said that this body is perishable and that the soul is not perishable. Antavanta ime deha nityasyokta sharirana. That is a confidential part of knowledge, simply knowing that the spirit soul is different from this body and that its nature is immutable, indestructible, and eternal. But that gives no positive information about the soul. Sometimes people are under the impression that the soul is different from the body and that when the body is finished, or one is liberated from the body, the soul remains in a void and becomes impersonal. But actually, that is not the fact. How can the soul, which is so active within this body, be inactive after being liberated from the body? It is always active. If it is eternal, then it is eternally active. And its activities in the spiritual kingdom are the most confidential part of spiritual knowledge. These activities of the spirit soul are therefore indicated here as constituting the king of all knowledge, the most confidential part of all knowledge. So, Batuk was saying that are there activities in the Brahman effulgence? No. There are no activities in the Brahman effulgence because the soul wants to have a state of no activities and simply existing. So yes, there are no activities in the Brahman, but that Brahman is a temporary liberated state. It is not permanent. That is what the demigod stated to Krishna in the womb of Devaki. Aruya Krishna Parang Padang Patanti. That even you merge with the Brahman effulgence, Patanti, you're going to fall. Eventually, you're going to fall down. Why? On this very point, the soul needs to be active. How long can you hold your breath? Some swimmers can do it like that guy, that smoking, pot smoking guy. What's his name? You can hold it for a long time, Mr. Phelps, Mr. Bong. So, but you cannot hold your breath forever. Some yogis can hold it long time, right? But not forever. Eventually, so Brahman merging is like holding your breath. Yes, you can merge for some time, but your nature is you want to do something. And because you don't know about spiritual activities, Patanti, you will fall. So Prabhupada here is pointing out the spiritual activities of the soul, which is devotional service, that's the most confidential knowledge. And Batuk says, Hari Bol. And Sakshi says, Chant, Baby, Chant should be the name of your next song. Good idea, Sakshi. I think I'll do that. I'll have to write some song. Chant, Baby, Chant. Chant, Baby, Chant. All right, let's continue. This knowledge is the purest form of all activities as explained in Vedic literature. In the Padma Purana, man's sinful activities have been analyzed and are shown to be the results of sin after sin. Those who are engaged in fruitive activities are entangled in different stages and forms of sinful reactions. For instance, when the seed of a particular tree is sown, the tree does not appear immediately to grow. It takes some time. It is first a small sprouting plant, and then it assumes the form of a tree. Then it flowers and bears fruit. And when it is complete, the flowers and fruits are enjoyed by persons who have sown the seed of the tree. Similarly, a man performs a sinful act, and like a seed, it takes time to fructify. There are different stages. The sinful action may have already stopped within the individual, but the results or the fruit of that sinful action are still to be enjoyed. There are sins which are still in the form of a seed, and there are others which are already fructified and are giving us fruit, which we are enjoying as distress and pain. Just like what I always say, that you may say, someone may say, in my religion, I'm allowed to eat meat. So they say, you know, leave me alone. My religion allows. So I say, that may be true. Your religion may allow you to eat meat, but your religion isn't going to protect you from the karma. You will still get cancer. You will still have to get a colonoscopy. You'll still, right? Your religion may have sanctioned, but the religion is not saying, oh, you won't get cancer. Mm-mm. Your religion may allow you to smoke, but what happens when you get lung cancer? Did your religion say you are protected from lung cancer? No. So my point is, yes, your religion may sanction, but the law of karma acts regardless of your so-called religion. You still have, yes, you have a point? Good. That's correct. That's correct. Yes. Can't. Because the laws of karma, very subtle, very intricate, and we don't want to be an accomplice in the crime. Yes, we want to stay away from all that. Let's read a tad more. As explained in the 28th verse of the 7th chapter, a person who has completely ended the reactions of all sinful activities and who is fully engaged in pious activities, being freed from the duality of this material world, becomes engaged in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. In other words, those who are actually engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord are already freed from all reactions. So, as long as you're engaged in devotional activities, you're liberated. You're freed. So always be engaged in devotional activities. As I've said many, many times, you may wake up one day and think, oh my God, I am totally an illusion. I had that many times. You wake up one day and you go, I can't believe it. I'm in Maya. But the solution, just pick yourself up and get back in the race. Get back hearing, chanting, cooking them, singing them, eating them. Just once again, pick up, start again. And before you know it, I can breathe again. I feel good again. So that day may come, no problema. Just come to Krishna. This statement is confirmed in the Padma Purana. A parabda palang papang kutam bijang falon mukam krameinaiva praliyeta Vishnu bhakti ratatmanam. For those who are engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all sinful reactions, whether fructified in the stock or in the form of a seed, gradually vanish. Therefore, the purifying potency of devotional service is very strong, and it is called pavitram uttamam, the purest. Uttama means transcendental. Tamas means this material world or darkness. And uttama means that which is transcendental to material activities. Devotional activities are never to be considered material, although sometimes it appears that devotees are engaged just like ordinary men. That sentence is very important. A non-devotee will come to the kitchen and see Krishna Gauranga, and he'll think, oh, he's just a cook. He'll think he's no different than the guy who's working in this restaurant over here. No. He's doing devotional activities. So we cannot judge externally. We have to find out, is this work being done for Krishna? One who can see and is familiar with devotional service will know that they are not material activities. They are all spiritual and devotional, uncontaminated by the material modes of nature. So we'll stop there, and we'll pick up, not next week, but the week after that. And very good. Sakshi says, preaching them. Very good. And let's see if we have anything over here. Jai. So let's do a little kirtanam. Can you play? Whatever you like. Devotional service is voluntary.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadi Shiki Jai. Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai. You're going to lead the kirtan? You. Good, you do it. I'll set up your microphone.